Amen. Thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
Are you thankful for the visitation of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You know, we should never take the visitation of the Holy Spirit for granted. We should come to church asking the Lord to be here, to be in our midst. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes now. When I go to church, I want to have a good time. I don't want to go to dead church. I'm glad that he's here. I'm glad that we feel him. Now, here's something to understand. We're not saved by our feelings. But I'm glad that I have something that I can feel. You know, the world walks by and they're doing it right now. They drive up and down the road and they see all these cars and they say, well, they're in there doing it again. If they enjoyed it as much as I do, they'd be in here doing it with us.
Yes.
The problem is they just don't know Jesus.
Yes.
And we need to help everybody that we can, while we can, understand who Jesus is, because the day's going to come when the door of mercy is going to be closed. I'm not ashamed, as Paul said, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You got your Bible, and it's still early. And y'all think, boy, we've had a long time. No, it hadn't been long. It's just been that good, okay? Matthew chapter number 16, and I'll move as quickly as I can. But I want to tell you why this is on my heart. This is very familiar scripture. This is something, when we read it, you'll understand. And what we're going to preach on this morning is, who do you say Jesus is? I was going through the airport. I've been going through the airport too much here lately. I'm ready for that to slow down. But I was going through the airport, you know, when you're walking around, because I don't want to be late. I've almost missed one flight, and ever since then, I made sure that doesn't happen. You get there early, you got to have something to do. And I walk in, and I'm just walking around. There's magazine, you know, and you're looking at magazine covers, and I saw one, Time Magazine, picture of Jesus. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, when the world says that, or they ask that question, or you go to secular school now, in college especially, and they ask that question, they're just prompting it to basically stir something up. But I want to tell you, the question is in the Word of God. And it's in Matthew chapter number 16. And what you say as an answer to this question is probably the most important thing that you'll answer as a question in your entire life. Because the answer to that question, it defines you, it determines so many things about you. But I want to read this scripture, just a few verses in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse number 13, as Jesus, as he's beginning to speak, and he's speaking to Peter. Listen to the words. It says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what he's saying here in this verse, upon this rock, is upon this belief, upon this testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the church of Jesus Christ is established. Now, what I want us to understand is, you know, you read your Bible and you begin to look at it and you say, well, those words were penned about 2,000 years ago. Well, I want you to understand something. God has not changed.
Amen.
All right, we're living in times today where there's a lot of talk about Jesus, but it's not the same talk that I'm going to give you this morning. Here's the kind of talk it is, and this is what Jesus is not. Some say that when you're speaking of Jesus, well, he's just a fable. Well, these same people, a lot of them say that the Holocaust never happened, but it did. Okay, now if you want to historically review it and you can understand that Jesus walked upon this earth, and you can find secular writers like Josephus that write in parallel to the things that happened, and they talk about the things that happened. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is not a fable. Now, what is a fable? It is a story passed down, but is a story that did not happen. Okay? Now, we know the story of, you know, the old mother goose who lived in the shoe. Okay? That's a whole lot different than talking about Jesus. But there are people today that want to put the two together. I want to tell you, Jesus walked on this earth. He's not a fable. He's the Son of God, and he's alive today seated on the right hand of the Father. Okay, here's another thing. He's not a fairy tale. Now, what is a fairy tale? A fairy tale is simply this. It's wishful thinking. It's not reality. And in most cases, it is just simply too good to be true. Now, if you think about it that way, think about this. Have you ever thought about the grace of God? Have you ever thought about the forgiveness of God? Have you ever thought about God's redemptive plan for mankind and the fact that we, because of what Jesus did, not because of what we've done ourselves, we have an opportunity to be forgiven of all of our sins and to spend eternity in heaven? Yes. Now, folks, I want to tell you, that sounds just about too good to be true, but that's what it's all about. Yes. He's not a fad. You know what a fad is? Sometimes we look at the pictures. I could just imagine seeing Brother Tommy in a silk shirt and a light blue leisure suit. And that was a fad. Some of you remember, every now and then, me and my son, we were somewhere yesterday, I think at Subway, and a song came on, and I said, listen to that, son. He said, that's an 80s song. He said, yeah, every time they play one of them at the skating rink, Mama takes off. Those are fads. Remember parachute pants? The hairdos. I know most of you don't believe it, but I used to have an afro about that big. I want to tell you, Jesus is not a fad. And as long as this earth stands, there are going to be people that are crying out to God, that are still going to be praying, that are still going to be seeking, that are still going to be looking for God to come. And here's something else, and this is very important. And this is what the world's pushing. He's not just another option. You don't get to heaven by way of the pyramid. You know what they say? Well, you can come up this side, or you can come up this side, or you can come up this side. You can go Muhammad's way, or you can go Buddha's way, or you can go your own way. I tell you, if you go, you're going to go one way, and that's through Jesus. See, he said himself, he is the way. Let's consider what the word of God says about Jesus. Now, when you say this, people say, well, that's circular reading. Well, reasoning. Well, here's what I want you to understand. Either this is the word of God, or it's a book of lies. Yep. It can't be anything in between. It is the inerrant, without error, word of God that the Holy Spirit moved on men, and they pinned these words down as the Holy Ghost moved upon them, and God, through divine intervention, has allowed it to be put together in the canon of Scripture that we have exactly the 66 books that God wants us to have, that Scripture that supports itself through prophecy and fulfillment of prophecy, or it is an absolute lie. So what does the Word say about Jesus? Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. It says this, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than what? The name of Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Can I just say this? There have been times that I've seen preachers of mega churches interviewed on something like Larry King or on something like The View, and they ask him the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? Can I tell you, I could name you names that you would be surprised that when they're asked that question under the lights, on the television, in front of thousands of people, they begin to backpedal. And they'll say things, well, like, he's my way, and I believe he's the way. Well, I want to tell you something, what the Bible says. He's the only way. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to come through Jesus, or you're just not going to go. He's God. He created all things. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything that was made that was made. That's everything. He has no equal. He's God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9 to 11 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And can I tell you this? There's going to come a day, and I believe this with all my heart, when Jesus is going to stand up in all his glory. And everyone upon the face of the earth, past, present, and future, are either going to look at him as Savior, or they're going to cry out for mercy, as the scripture says, looking for the rocks and the mountains to fall on him. Now, here's the difference for me. I have already bowed. I've already given him glory. I've already said he's my Lord. But can I tell you that every defiant liberal is going to say, have mercy on me, Jesus. Every person that cried out to Allah thinking they were doing the right thing, they're going to say, Jesus is the only way after all. Everyone that mocks you as Christians for the things that you do, every liberal professor is going to bow. That's what the word says. So what did Jesus say about himself? John 14, 6. Here's what you need to understand about Jesus. He is either the Son of God in the flesh, come to fulfill exactly what the scripture said that he would all the way from the book of Genesis through the Bible, or else he is a lying lunatic. Now, that's strong words. And I say that very reverently in this fact that I know who Jesus is. But when people look at him and what he said in John 14, 6, he said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he goes on to say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he says. Now, folks, I want to make sure you understand where I'm at today. Jehovah God and Allah that the Muslims serve is not the same. We can't compromise and call it Christendom and think we're going the same way. You come through Jesus or you don't go. That's what Jesus himself said. He didn't say, I'm a way. He said, I'm the way. Now, if you look at what Jesus said about himself, and I can't read all the scripture for the sake of time, but I can give it to you and I'll be glad to share with you what I've got here. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus himself said that he had power to forgive sins. Who can do that other than Jesus? Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what is lost? Any person that has reached the age of accountability, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're lost. Amen. What does that mean? That means if they die without Christ, they will not go to heaven. That's what that means. God has made a way, but you must come to him. In Matthew 26, 32, it says this, Jesus said that he would rise from the grave. You say something like that, it's the same look that you get from somebody that doesn't believe the Bible when you say that Jesus was born of a virgin. He's the Son of God. If he created man from just the dust of the earth, and he molded it, and then he just breathed, and man became a living soul, then the Holy Spirit of God can pass by a little virgin that was picked out. And all he's got to do is breathe. And that child began to grow. That was the perfect, darling Son of God. And then he says, in 3 days, I'm going to rise. And here's the thing to understand. Because he lives, we can live. That's important to me. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says this. Jesus said, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And they say, well, if he was all powerful, why'd they crucify him? Why didn't he, as they said, why don't you just call, as the devil told him, for the angels? And they'll come and deliver you. Isn't it written that they're there lest you cast your foot against a stone? Here's what I want you to understand. He lended himself and all of his power and became, as the scripture says, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? So that I won't have to go. You see, it wasn't just Barabbas' cross, it was mine. That's why it's important to understand that Jesus himself said about himself in Mark chapter 14, verse 62, Jesus said he was the Christ. You know, you think everybody would understand this, but I heard a teacher had done a survey asking how many children the question, what was Jesus' last name? And they said, Christ. Folks, I want you to understand, Christ is not his last name. Christ is who he was. It's Jesus Christ, and in Hebrew it is Yeshua HaMashiach. It is Jesus the Messiah, which is the Savior of the world. That's Jesus. So who is Jesus? What do some say, as the scripture said? He asked them the question, and they came back and they gave him the answer, and they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Okay? See, John had been beheaded for preaching the truth. John had so much power when he preached that Herodias' wife, she said, I want John the Baptist head in a charger. And when they heard Jesus preaching in power, they were afraid and feared that John the Baptist had returned from the grave. Then some say, well, you're Elijah, the prophet. Elijah the prophet lived from 740 to 690 B.C. He was a prophet who told that Jesus would come, that he would be born of a virgin, that the government would be upon his shoulders, that his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it told about how he would bear our stripes and our sins upon him, and how God would look at him and be pleased with his sufferings. And then they said, others said, well, he's Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. You see, Jeremiah lived from 627 to 586 B.C. Well, why did they say these things? I want you to understand why. Because there had never been a person walk upon this earth who spoke with so much power or so much authority as Jesus Christ. And they were trying to understand what they were witnessing, and they did not know how to explain it, except maybe one of the great prophets has risen from the grave and come back. Never, what does it say? Never a man spake like this man. Even the sea, the winds and the seas obey him. So what did others say? They called him a prophet. But by calling him a prophet, you move him to the level of all other gods, little g. You see, when you're reading through your Bible and you see the word God, look for the capital letter. That's talking about God the Father. You see, the little g, here's what it's talking about. Can I tell you, there are a lot of gods. There are a lot of gods that people serve. There were gods they served then. There are gods that people are serving today. All manner of things. Some would surprise you. But I want to tell you something. He's not a prophet. Do you know that the competing religion with Christianity today on the world scene as far as numbers is Islam? And there are thousands of people that follow that. Now, when I look at it, I'm amazed. But can I tell you what they're trying to do? They're just like all the other religions of the world. Every religion of the world, other than Christianity, here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to work their way to heaven. But in Christianity, you don't work your way to heaven. What you do is accept the fact that a Savior died on a cross for you and did something that you couldn't do for yourself. But here's what the Muslims say. They say, oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Abraham. We serve God. We just want you to know that Jesus was just a prophet. And he's a lesser prophet than Muhammad. You see, we read some of Jesus' writings, but Muhammad came to finish what Jesus started and show us the way. Can I tell you, if you read the 24th chapter of Matthew, he said, many will come in my name, but don't believe them. If you go over and read what Paul wrote, he said, even if an angel from heaven were to come to you and preach any other gospel other than that you've heard, to receive them not. That's exactly where Mormonism came from. When Joseph Smith said an angel came to him and told him where the golden tablets were. I want you to understand, there's one way, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus only. It's nothing else. You know, we're living in a time today where men are saying it. That's why it's on the front of Time magazine. Folks, Time magazine's not trying to get the United States saved. I tell you what they're doing. Let me tell you, it's this right here. It's like the liberal teachers, and some of you recognize this. Here's what they say. They say Jesus is the leader of a religion that some follow, but he is outdated for today's forward thinkers. That's the liberal agenda, okay? Now, if you go back a few years, and there was a writer, a secular writer, around the time of World War II, when all of the communism and all of the people, it's just like when they said, if you give us the children, we will win the war. Friedrich Nietzsche said this. He said, Jesus died too soon. If he had lived to my age, he would have repudiated his doctrine. Remember what I said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Amen. He's going to be in that number. Every tongue. Muhammad Gandhi said this, I cannot say that Jesus was uniquely divine. He was as much divine as Krishna or Rama or Muhammad or Zoroaster. Remember? It's not a pyramid that you climb up any way that you want. H.G. Wells, he said this. He said, I am a historian. I'm not a believer. But I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably at the center of history. Remember what Jesus said? He said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not place to lay his head. He was a carpenter's son. But yet, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, and where is the house that you build unto me? He became those things so that you and I could become like him. Napoleon said this about Jesus. He said, Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Philip Schaff said, without writing a single line, Jesus set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, and songs of praise than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. You see, there's nobody like him. You go over to the book of Daniel and you look at Daniel's great statue that he showed that had the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron mixed with clay in its feet. Every great leader of the world that fell, those that at their time when they were upon the earth were the leader of the world's strength, there's little said about them. But I want to tell you today that Jesus is the very center of history. Because it is his story. And everything's getting lined up and it's pointing towards Jesus Christ returning. And you say, well, we've heard that. The Bible says, what does it say in the book of Peter? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But I want to tell you, it's the mercy of God that's holding back Jesus right now. Amen. When we have the things going on in our country where they won't even vote that when a baby is born through a botched abortion and it's laid on the table, that the doctor has a responsibility to help it. It's God's mercy. God's mercy is praying churches. It's church, spirit-filled churches like this one. It's holding back the wrath of God from coming to this country. You say, I don't like that. I don't believe that. We need to believe God's word. And believe that Jesus is the only way. And understand, we must make a choice. A secular writer who became a Christian, very intelligent person, wrote this about Jesus. His name is C.S. Lewis. He said, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can spit at him and kill him as a demon. And by the way, that's what the Pharisees called him. When Jesus were cast out an evil spirit, they would say he cast out spirits by the spirit of Beelzebub, which was a demon. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. You know, if you look at these things and what men have said, as Jesus is talking to Peter, then what did Peter say? He said this unto him. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what I know about myself, and I understand I'm not God. I can't do anything to even change tomorrow. If I go to the doctor and they tell me, you know, you've got something that's been living inside of you, and now that we finally found it, it's too far gone. You know what I could do? Nothing. When my life is over, and it's going to be over for all of us, because you will not live forever. There's a time, very likely, and I've heard it said, you know, if I were to die, right here's where I'd want to be. Bring me in this church, put me right here. But when you walk by, here's what I want you to understand. I was at peace with Jesus. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why do you keep preaching? Why do you keep going when you're tired? I'll tell you why. Because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Remember those words? Here's the real question. Who do you say Jesus is? You know, I look up these quotes sometimes and I read what people say. I listen to them on the news when you got a candidate somewhere in one of these liberal states that's trying to run for office, and he announces out loud that he's a Christian, and you got some liberal come on behind him and they say, how in the world could we vote for anybody who says they believe in God? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Jesus is coming. And when I see him, I'm going to say, hey, Lord. I'm not going to say, I wish I had moved when I had the opportunity. I'm going to say, Lord, I've been talking to you all my life. You told me you was coming. Lord, when I was weak, you helped me. When I didn't know what to do, Lord, you gave me direction. And look here. You know what? It goes by that fast, doesn't it? Some of you here, people spoke to me today and they said, you know what, little granddaughter, she's something, she's precious, she's cute. 2 weeks old now. I remember when I took my little girl, be 28 years old, in church when she was born. I remember going to Dollywood and buying them little dolly dresses. I remember buying them play sets, you know, that at Walmart and Kmart back when there was one. And what a room looked like and how it changed. What happened? This life, the scripture says, is but a vapor. It's like the passing of the day. It's gone. And I'll tell you something, that passing we're going to be all standing before God.
Amen.
And the only thing I think we're going to be asked, what did you do with my son? See, some say, well, I really hadn't thought about it. I choose not to think about it. Some say it's really not that big of a deal, but it is a big deal. And I tell you why it's a big deal today, because God allowed you to be here. Because God wanted you to hear this, and God wants you to know Him personally. And I say this, and I mean this, and I feel this way. God doesn't want to take you and turn you into something nobody will absolutely recognize. He wants to take you and make you the absolute best that you can be. And you will never be that outside of Him. You say, well, I'm just not ready to make a decision. Well, making no decision is a no decision. C.S. Lewis said you must make your choice. You see, nothing is as important as the answer you give. See, sometimes in our life, especially as we're growing up, we think about where am I going to go to school? Am I going to go to college or not go to college? Who am I going to marry? Who am I going to spend my life with? Where am I going to work? What am I going to do? Those things are trivial in comparison to making this decision to follow Christ. You see, because the answer you give, it will define you. The answer you give will determine your pattern and path of life. And most importantly, when you're asked the question, who do you say Jesus is? The answer you give will determine where you spend eternity. He's not a way, he's not a prophet. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And he's got a perfect plan of salvation. Now I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet this morning. And I'll say most importantly, I want to ask if everybody would just to bow your heads and let's have just a moment of silent prayer.